Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Greetings, my beloved listening audience. With God's name, the most merciful benefactor and the most merciful redeemer. And giving the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum, to our brothers and sisters, Muslim brothers and sisters, to our Jewish listening audience, shalom, and to our Christian brothers and sisters, may peace be unto you. I am Imam Shahid Abdullah. And this is the inheriting the power of mental freedom. We have a very good show lined up for you today, but I just want to go with some prerequisites to give you some idea about what we're going to be doing. Those of you who are with us for the first time, you can, and you have a question or comment about anything that said, you just raise your hand, push the one on your phone, and I will see you and let you in to make your comment. And we're going to also ask, because we do have a number of people trying to get in on making comments and suggestions, or just generally making ideas and adding to what we're talking about. We ask you to be very precise in your question or in your comments. And we have a great guest today. We're going to be introducing a great guest who's very interested in the same type of things we are into. In fact, she's promoting a kickoff for the Juneteenth. Her Juneteenth celebration is in 2024. And this is going to be a kickoff this coming month. She's going to have in October. And we're going to have her on to give us her views on Juneteenth and how we can assist in making that that day and that respective day and a day that we all can look at as something to do with the African-American culture that's in a positive vein. We all want to participate in that. And I want to be as much help as we possibly can. As an imam and a student of Imam Arfi Muhammad, I have studied and researched religions, especially Al-Islam, as a as their relative impact that they have on the African-American culture. I have over 17 years of formal education with a bachelor's degree in sociology. Additionally, I have background in speaking and writing for nearly 30 years about the African-American culture as it addresses its formation, prosperity, and preservation. This combination of my experience dealing with education and independent studies have prepared me for what I am today, African Malalian American Griot. And on some of our programs, we're going to go into depth as to what the griot represents and why it's so important to our community. As a griot, I write and speak about the African-American culture and its relevance to the landscape of the world. I have written several books, Success is Automatic, Unleash the Power of Your Industrious Nature and Achieve Your Dream, The River of Gold, The Spirit of Bilal, the community is formed, calling the world to human excellence. And my latest book, Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture. In 1960, a Pulitzer Prize winner, playwright by the name of Archibald MacLeese, in his play, Secret of Freedom, a character says that the only thing about a man that is a man is his mind. Everything else you can find in a pig or horse. Now that's uncomfortable. That's an uncomfortably true, but it's what this playwright found in his researches. The human mind is one thing that separates us from the rest of the creatures on earth. It's very, very, very important for the human being to understand and begin to comprehend the importance of the mind. In a more along that same line, and I guess we probably can actually say somewhat more contemporary, with the same views, this viewpoint, while viewing the points of that was made in terms of the man and the human mind, from a religious perspective and scriptures, Imam Wafdi Muhammad said, "Man means mind." Now, when we look at the breadth of that, it may be taken very, very lightly. But when you consider the concept that's viewed here as man means mind, it gives us an impression and should make a great impression on most of us. The human being has the capability of achieving almost anything that the human being desires. The only limitations, other than some maybe physical limitations dealing with the environment and the laws of gravity and other laws that surround us, basically rests with the human being himself, the mind. The value of these statements and the instructive power of these statements or concept expressed by these two men can't be measured in material wealth, because they are the sum total of the wealth in itself and in all forms. In fact, once the African American people understand this concept, the problems of the African American people will begin to melt away. Understanding this is a natural mental freedom, and understanding this concept of mental freedom and the power that's derived from this method of thinking, the African American people will begin to make the same kind of African American people of today. Will begin to make the same kind or even greater than the progress that was made by the African-American people from 1896 to the 1960s. Mental freedom is a process of detaching labels, dropping expectations of others. Someone else may have some expectation of you. If you don't have the power to release that, get away from that, it will consume you. The simple being who you are. Who you are is so very important in understanding this important power of mental freedom. You can't always ignore other statements of people or people around you or people about you and what they say. And nor can you just ignore the things that are said in the news or in the educational system. Demeans the African-American people and don't give them the prestige that their foreparents really have, let's say, not achieved, but have laid the foundation for. We have inventors and scientists in the African-American community that has done things that this civilization are really enjoying the breadth of the experience and ability of the African-American people. So we are very important in that sense. And we also should think of the importance of being able to sometime put aside concepts and ideas that we hear from the society about African American people in terms of how we are not taking care of our families, how the men and women are just gangbangers and things of that nature, and using this as a foundation for the African American culture. Mental freedom is more about having the power to choose your own thoughts, feelings, and most of all, your actions. That's what mental freedom is about. Being able to choose your actions. Now, there are many ways to accomplish that, to get to the point where you can achieve your actions and this mental freedom. You can do things as some things as simple as keeping a journal. It can help a great deal for a person to grasp the power of training their thinking to get beyond the challenges of others and others' thoughts and feelings. Thing is, where does it come from? Where does the mind begin? Does it begin in the womb of our mothers or in the womb of the environment? One of the greatest explanation of the human being's existence is the fact that We are shaped and molded by our culture. The culture, the environment that we are born in will shape us. And only until we get the power as an adult, we grow up with a child, and the child struggles constantly trying to absorb that which is beneficial that is receiving in his environment, and at the same time rejecting those things that the child does not want or cannot absorb in his environment. Culture is a very important all of this, and what makes it so unique that the little different than the biological heritage that we receive. The biological heritage, you can't do anything about that. The biological heritage, what you born, your genetic makeup is done. It's a done deal. It was a done deal with your great-grandparents and so forth and so on down the line. But culture is somewhat different. We have the power to begin to shape that which shaped us. The culture shaped us, but yet we have the power to reshape our thinking, reshape our ideas and concepts that were put into us by the culture in which we come from. It's so important for us to be able to see the importance of that. Culture is what? Culture is a distinct social system that holds people together and promotes them into the future. It is a cumulative of thoughts and positive deposits of knowledge, language, experience, beliefs, values, attitudes, and several other things that we're going to go over at another time. This time we want to take a step back and look at belief. This evening we'll just look at belief as it relates to us, as it relates to us and our impact on our lives and our impact on the world. Last week we went over values, and we talked about the very impacting impact that the parent can have on the values that a child develops, that a parent can have on the child when the child matures and becomes an adult. There are certain values they're going to put on because they were given those values at early age. Beliefs are similar. Beliefs have another aspect about is very important for us to look at and grasp, because the belief, once a person gets into belief, it directs and influences the goals we set, our motivation, and how we achieve them, the goals. Belief is the value. Some say come from hard work. They believe in hard work. Belief is an exception to many things that can go wrong in a person's life. And if they are able to work on what they believe, that will motivate them to change that life. Belief is an acceptance that a statement is true or that something exists. It's so powerful because to have this means that something that may not exist, but because we have belief in it, we believe that it does exist. Now, that's fine and works well in some situations, but there are other situations where that becomes a very detrimental part to our development. It's not only just our belief in, one might say, God, and a belief in a deity, those things, not just that, but it becomes a burden when that belief lends itself to the deterioration of the African-American people. In fact, we could say any people, but here we're trying to make it important for the African-American people to see what entraps us in this spiral downward that we find the African-American community in. and we want to know what we can do about it. We're not looking to have someone else do it for us. We're not looking for the government to do it for us. We're not looking for some politicians to do it for us. No, we want to know and want to see the things that we can do for ourselves to change the concepts and ideas that are rolling around in our minds to cause us to become a second-class citizen. Not only a second-class citizen, some say it's down to a fourth-class citizen. Country that we help put together. In our country, our forefathers died for the freedom that we all experience today. We have to struggle primarily making sure that we are able to work with that idea. Now, where it begins, we go back to the womb again. The womb of our environment. The womb of our environment, the African-American environment, began here in North America, not in Egypt, not in Saudi Arabia, not in any of those places. It began here in America. We are a combination of the Africans from the western coast of Africa, and we are a combination of the Native American or the African who was here before the European had come to colonialize this part of the world. We're part of that, and we're also part of the European who came. So genetically speaking, this genetic makeup never existed before on the planet Earth that we are. We are a different people. We are a people who think different. We should think different. We should have a different viewpoint on what affects us and what we need to promote our lives, our existence. But first, it gets with belief. Do we believe that we are a new people? Do we believe that we are a people who God has allowed to come into existence in this form and then gave us assistance and aid to become independent? Whether we believe that or not, it's what will motivate us to improve upon that. You see, if we don't believe that, we're not going to be motivated to improve on that idea and improve on the concept that we are just as special as those who came before us. We will believe and work on the idea that we can achieve the great things that our foreparents achieved right here in America. And I mean our foreparents, I'm not talking about in Egypt, I'm talking about here. We built Black Wall Streets in America. Black metropolis in Chicago, Illinois, all up and down Durham, North Carolina. You know some of the people in your time that you can call on or talk to their great-grandparents. They would tell you about the cities and towns they lived in that African-Americans were advancing in such a rate that it became alarming to the outside community. But what we want to look at for a moment, and then we're going to take a short pause, and I want to bring on my guest because that's very important what she has to talk about in terms of the Juneteenth. We just want to look at one other thing here. Where does the concept of superiority and inferiority come from that affects the African-American most? And the European American most. Now, we're not looking at the Spanish Inquisition. We're not talking about that. It was a different kind of a form. That was more about religious superiority or inferiorities. But here in America, this superiority and superiority concept was not about religion. And many of you who have read some of my articles or books, you know that I speak of a time that in the research you will find these facts existing that began with a European American colonist who became upset with the governor in Georgetown, which is Virginia and Maryland as colonies. And he became so upset in 1676, he got united all of the workers together. Now, at that time, it was separation between The fact the slave wasn't even considered a slave was more about people working for pay and working time off. But it wasn't called slavery as such. That came a couple years later. But he united them all together and came against the governor, Governor Berkeley of Johnstown, and they burnt the Johnstown down. Now, these are the facts you can look up, and you can see where this idea came from. And there are scholars now talking about it. We have Baccalaureate, which is a scholar, European-American scholar who was an attorney. She uncovered this scheme. Many of them have uncovered the scheme. Now, it's not as publicized as it should be, but it's a scheme that was originated. But what happened with Berkeley, Nathaniel Bacon, was that the British supported Berkeley. And by the time they got here to put the insurrection down, it was too late. Now, Bacon had passed because he had dysentery, but the damage that was done. And what they had to do at that time, they came up with this idea, this scheme, how to stop the unity amongst the workers, how to stop the unity amongst the people, regardless on their color or where they came from. They wanted to stop the unification of those people. So what they did, they put together a scheme. They put together a scheme and wrote it into law. And that scheme was to call the European American colonists white people. People have never been used before. The word relating to people, white relating to people, never been used in history before, because there's no such place as white. There's no such continent as white. It was a made-up concept during colonial times. All the records would show that. And they called them white people and gave them special privileges and let them bear arms, and they didn't have to worry about anybody messing with their families or anything of that nature. They had these things in their favor. They could marry who they wanted, their own land where they wanted. And they did the opposite, African Americans. What they did for the African, they wrote into law that the African could not carry a gun. The African could not bring a charge against a European American for damages that a European American have done, whether it was true or not. They began to separate that working class, and they did the same thing with the Native American. So you had this concept going on, and this was before the Declaration of Independence. Before we had won our freedom from Great Britain. They had this law, they called them the Virginia Laws, the Virginia Slave Code, the Slave Laws. Those laws, not only did they exist, they still are embedded in the minds of the people. Do you think it's just coincidental that the European American thinks he's superior to the African American? Today's European American. Not talking about colonial time. Well, let's jump out of that time. Let's jump into this time where we exist. What is responsible for this mentality? What is responsible for this mentality that I'm better than you? Huh? Where does that come from? And when you trace it all the way back, it comes from this scheme. So that scheme has impacted the behavior of today's African American and European American. European Americans are trying to change the direction of their thinking, some of them, because they see what a detriment it's going to be in the future, especially as the world becomes greater and bigger. But what they are trying to do, they are trying to negate cultural development, evolution of the African American culture. African Americans think themselves inferior. For what reason? Why? Because of the same trick, the same scheme. And then all the events that we know, we want to save that probably for another time, the events that lead up to the way people are thinking today, which takes us into the idea and concepts that lead the straight kind of thinking, the virtues, of today. And how we can avoid them is first we have to begin to thinking and responding that there is no such thing as white people. There's no such thing. European doesn't recognize it because they know it's just a concept that began in colonial America. There's no such thing as a white man or a black man. There's no such place as white place or black place or black country or white country. The Africa is not a black country. They use that jargon today, but they have their own country. Nigeria, Ghana, all of them, they have their own countries and their own languages within those countries. But it makes the European American feel a little better about himself when he allows the African American people to call themselves people of color, to give us the impression that they want us to belong to something. But you can see how devious that thought is, because they're not in the African Americans that belong to their wealth, their great growing in the world. No, they say you are people of color. We are not part of that group, people of color. You are part of that group, people of color. It's another form of racial segregation in a little slicker language. But what we must concern ourselves with today, that's just one issue that we wanted to just talk about briefly today. But there are many other things that we have to look at as African-American people to find out a new way of thinking. We must start thinking different. It's all in the thought. We must strengthen our belief system. We must strengthen our values. But we must do it in a way that deranged, or in a way that they're not misdirected. Carnegie Wilson said, we are living at a time where the miseducation of the Negro, he called it, because he saw the mind of the African people was being misdirected away from themselves of being producers and developers, remain as servants for the European American. With that, we're going to pause. But before we take this pause, if any of you have any questions, comments about anything that was said, push the one on your phone. We'll take a few minutes because we have to bring on Dr. Manati. If you have any questions, we have quite a lot of people. If you do have a question, you have to be quick or comment. I don't see any hands raised. Okay, we're gonna go to we have a couple things now. Okay, let's just go through this break here.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, The Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, The Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Well, thank you very much. We're going to introduce to you a person who has really achieved a great deal in this environment that we live in. And she's world-renowned. This is Dr. Stephanie R. Manati. She is an associate minister of the Community Baptist Church in Englewood, New Jersey, where Reverend D. Lester is, and Reverend Dr. Lester W. Taylor, Jr. is the senior pastor. She's also has a doctorate degree in ministry and from United Theological Seminary in Dayton, Ohio. She has studies in Drew University at the seminary there. She has a bachelor's degree in art and music from Kane University here in Jersey. And she has a number of degrees and studies. For over 30 years, she was an educator in the Plainfield School District as in music, and she's a master at voice, not just voice control, the value of what songs and the development does. I think that you're going to be amazed at some of the things that she's going to tell you about, that she can take you to the next level of her, what she has achieved here, and especially her goals and objectives about Juneteenth. So I'm going to see if get to, I believe this is, Dr. Menatee, is this you? Hello, Dr. Menatee? Let me try this one then. Okay. Dr. Menatee? Yes. Oh, okay. All right. Good. We have you.
How Whoa. Are you, sir?
Doing fine. How are you doing today?
Listen, I am blessed. Thank you, Brother Shahid. You are, it was a dynamic presentation that I just heard. And I just want to tell your listeners that the belief that you were talking about is my motivation for what I'm doing. And I'm so excited to hear you teach. And I was just like a sponge absorbing what you were saying. So I'm sure that all the listeners enjoyed hearing what you were sharing with us. I'm excited about Juneteenth 2024, and I have started early. I believe in starting early and putting all my ducks in a row, dotting all my I's and crossing all my T's, so I won't be waiting until the last minute to get things done. So I've started now.
So what got you interested in Juneteenth? I know it happened with me several years back, and it was just not coincidental, but a friend of mine told me about something was happening. And then we also was impressed by Imam Mufti Muhammad, who spoke in the evening about the importance of Juneteenth and why we should take note to it. What got you interested in Juneteenth?
Well, you know, I come from a family who gives service to the community. Mm-hmm. And my uncle, he passed in 2005. He was a civil rights leader. He was Councilman Assemblyman Donald Tucker. And he poured into me at an early age the history of our people and being knowledgeable of what was going on. I had the opportunity to visit Ghana in 1998. That, I can't believe it's 25 years since I have been there. Mm. But that trip changed my life. I can still hear the drums welcoming me into the open space. I can still remember many of the exchanges with my brothers and sisters there. And when I got off the plane, the man just said, "Welcome home," to me. And I felt like I was at home. when I was in Ghana, I took some students. When I was teaching, I took some of my students, and we spent about 8 days touring Kumasi, touring Cape Coast and Accra. So I got to experience the slave castles and all of that. So it's in me to educate our people. And now, since Juneteenth is now a national holiday, many of our people just don't know what Juneteenth is. It's a day off for some people, and that's why they're interested, because they're off. They don't have to work. But as Barack Obama says, it's a day on. And we really need to understand what Juneteenth is all about and celebrate our freedom on that day. So I am organizing a kickoff in October, and then I'll have an essay contest for grades 7 through 12 to talk about what Juneteenth means to them and to educate them on what Juneteenth is. And then we'll have the big main event on June 15th down at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center in Newark, New Jersey at 4 o'clock. Well, really, it's going to start at 2:30 because I built a slave ship that's going to be in the lobby. I built a door of no return that's going to be in the lobby. So I want the people to experience the Middle Passage in New Jersey. Because some people may never get to Africa. So that's what we've done.
That's wonderful. That's an achievement, because, you know, there's so many people who just stand by. And they don't just pick up the, as Booker T. Washington states, drop your stand. There's some people that don't do that at all.
Right.
Wonderful to see you do that.
Yes.
Now, you've been interested in Juneteenth because of your uncle, as you said, your uncle?
I think that he planted the seed for me to actually learn more about our people. You know, my Uncle Donald, you could not just sit around and talk to him, but he was a teaching tool. So every time you were in his midst, you were learning something that you didn't know. He had exposed me to all different kinds of things for our people. And that seed was planted at an early age and just continued to grow and to grow and to grow. So when Juneteenth, when the excitement became about and Juneteenth became a national holiday, I definitely wanted to make sure that this year we really celebrated big. Last year, Opal Lee, the grandmother of Juneteenth, she was kind enough to write us all Ambassadors of Freedom. I want to thank Kim Nesbitt, because she has the Friends of New Jersey Legacy Foundation, and they have several Black History programs and things that are happening for our people. And she had us all receive a letter from Opal Lee, which I cherish.
Is that the Kim Nesbitt from Elizabeth?
That's correct, from Nesbitt Funeral Home. But she's also a civil rights champion, and she's always doing something for our people. So I've been working with her, and it's just been a marvelous time.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. It makes you feel as though, too bad Juneteenth is not next month.
That's
it gets your blood up and running.
As far as I'm concerned, since I've started, I've been eating, drinking, and sleeping Juneteenth. I'm just not trying to overdo it, because in 2015 I had a massive stroke. I wasn't supposed to even be here, Brother Shaheed. You know, the doctors had given me a terrible prognosis, but God let me live. So I'm making sure I'm not overdoing anything, but I'm also making sure that we are doing all we can to get this word out about Juneteenth. And we want the people to come to the kickoff. That's October 21st at 11:30. It's free, and it's going to be at the Shack Theater. You know, Shaquille O'Neal bought a movie theater in Newark, the Cityplex 12, and he has a theater inside there called the Shack Theater. So I'm he was kind enough, and Frank Gonzalez, the manager, was kind enough to give me that space. So we're going to have a kickoff on October 21st at 11:30, and we'll enjoy our culture. We'll talk about what we need to do as black people in America, and we'll talk about what's coming down the pike. I'll have some African drummers in the house. I'll have some Juneteenth information in the house. Even your books, they're going to be in the house, Brother Shaheen. Absolutely. Wonderful. And we're gonna tell everybody to just come and to be enlightened if you're not already. Wear your black solidarity garb. I want to see how proud we are to be black in America. So wear your t-shirts, wear your hats, your scarves, your earrings, whatever you wanna wear to make you a proud black American. We're gonna enjoy that day.
That's beautiful. And if any of you have any comments or questions, you can push the one on your phone as we get to you one at a time. But if you have any comments or questions, but I wonder if any of the listeners, because we have a lot of astute listeners, some don't come out and voice their studies the way some of us do. We do that, you know. But some do have a lot of information, a lot of knowledge. But I wonder if any of the listeners, this is a question I just posed to the listeners, any of them have an idea what language the word Juneteenth is?
Okay.
I don't see anybody there. Go ahead.
I will answer that. Juneteenth is derived of two words. Because it happened on June 19th, it's derived of June and 19th. So put those two together, that's where you get the word Juneteenth.
Right.
Okay?
That's right. What's important is to know why the Africans of that time spoke like that. I don't know. What part of the country are you from? Your parents from?
My family is Ashanti from Ghana.
Ashanti tribe
from Ghana. But my grandmother is from Columbia, South Carolina. My grandfather is from Virgilina, Virginia.
He's from right. Now know in South Carolina. And not as much of Virginia, but South Carolina and Georgia, the Africans down there created the language by taking words off and putting words together, created a language that was deemed a language in 1932. They said that's a real language.
Wow.
And it was called Geechee. And they named it after the river, Ogeechee River in Georgia, that goes from northern Georgia right down into the Sea Islands. And they that's a technique they use. That just the way the Juneteenth made put together, that's a technique they use with words. You have a list of words that they use. They take the English, you see, because most of the Africans during that time were in the community where the lower class European came to, the Scottish and the European from northern England moved in and set up townships in those areas down in there, and they were the ones who were speaking that broken English. They spoke the English that the words like chitlins, for example. That's not an African word. Most people think it is. It's not even an African American word. That word comes from Europe. And other things that come from the same kind of aspect. But what our foreparents did at that time, because they learned to communicate. And they wanted to learn to communicate in a language that they had of their own that the European American couldn't understand. So they began to break.
Right.
Right. They broke down the language. And they said, what kind of language? Who is that? They said, Geechee. That's where they got the name from that river.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that the Jewish people did when they invented the Yiddish. See, Yiddish is a language that the Jews invented in Europe. As in
mm-hmm.
German. They took the German
you
language.
You are teaching us, sir. You are teaching us.
Well, this is your hour. This is your hour. This is your hour. I want you to express to the listeners what I just you see. I'm something like you and all the other people who speak before people. You know, it's hard to sometimes when we started. It's hard to get us to stop.
Yes.
See, so that's where that word Juneteenth. It's our word. We invented that word.
That's correct.
We invented it, and we invented it from the language that our forefathers developed in South Carolina and Georgia, called Geechee. Gullah Geechee is the name they use mostly today. But it's
you
same,
know, I was
it's,
talking. Yeah, go ahead.
It's the same language. Same, the same language that Supreme Court Judge Clarence Thomas speaks.
Right.
He spoke about that one time about that language. It is a real language. But continue
on. I was talking to a friend yesterday, mm-hmm. and I was telling her about the watch night service. Those of us who are Christian that's listening,
mm-hmm.
you know, each year we have the watch night service.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not know that the watch night service came from the slaves who would gather in church to watch. The Emancipation Proclamation took effect January 1st, 1863. So the slaves would gather together in the church, and they would wait until the clock struck 12. And when the clock struck 12, they were free. And
that's
why we have the watch night service. And she never knew that. So I was like, wow, and she said, if I didn't know it, a whole lot of other people don't know it.
No, that's true.
So we need to know our history, you know, and Juneteenth, you know, people need to understand that was the second time that the people in Galveston, Texas had not gotten the word that the Emancipation Proclamation was passed and that slaves were free. And they didn't get it until 2 years later, on June 19th, 1865. So that's where we get Juneteenth from. That is our Independence Day. That is our day, our emancipation, our day of freedom. So we need to understand, yes, 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation, slaves were free, but people in Galveston did not know it until 1865. June 19th, 1865. So well, that's why we have Juneteenth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful information, and it's great motivation. That should be tremendous amount of motivation for us to get out there. What's the date in October?
October 21st. It's 21st. A Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
October 21st at 11:30 a.m. at the Shack Theater or the Cityplex 12 in Newark, New Jersey, Springfield Avenue and Bergen Street in Newark, New Jersey.
I see some hands coming up. Would you mind to take some comments or questions?
Absolutely.
Reverend? Okay.
Absolutely.
Let's go to area code 636. Area code 636.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. This is Kareem Hamid.
Alhamdulillah. How you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. And we are grateful for your honored guest and her efforts
you,
to praise be to Allah to acclimate us to look forward to Juneteenth. And as was just shared, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed in 1863. But the news didn't reach Galveston until 2 years later. My question is, did the slave owners know that the Emancipation Proclamation had been signed, and they just kept it to themselves. They didn't tell the former slaves.
Listen,
that's my question.
I really don't know, but if I was to answer that question on what I think they did know and didn't
mm-hmm.
want us to know. But I don't
yeah.
know for sure because I you know, I don't know for sure. But I'm thinking that they did know and didn't
mm-hmm.
want us to know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that
okay.
answer. It's not
yeah,
too far-fetched for them
mm-hmm.
to have known
okay.
and just didn't say nothing.
That's right.
Right.
And, right. May we elevate June 15th just like the 4th of July.
That's right.
Thank you, my sister.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Alaykum assalam. You know, that brings to mind too that we shouldn't expect the same people. Who, I believe it was Booker T. No, it was Carter G. Woodson. The people that have us feeding us bad information, we shouldn't expect to give good information. That
That's
was
right.
the gist of what you were saying. Because we have to start trust. We have to start trusting our own thinking. That's what
That's
everyone
right.
does on the planet Earth. They have their own thinking. They get together and they collaborate and they go by their they follow their logic to its logical conclusion,
mm-hmm.
and then that's what they go by. You know, in that Juneteenth situation, I think one aspect of that is that that's a dock down there in Texas. That's where the ships come in. And
mm-hmm.
it's a big dock there. And they need, in order for them to get the exports that was coming in, if they had let slaves out and off, they were afraid if they told them, they would leave. And if they let them off, they wouldn't be able to get the ships unloaded in time.
Wow.
With this big in Texas there. So what they, mm. they absolutely knew that Emancipation Proclamation, but they kept it to themselves because
right.
they did not want the slaves to just leave and they wouldn't get their cargo unloaded. In fact,
right.
they had put men with guns at the how the slaves would leave that particular area to come out. They had to come across a bridge. Like they had put centurions on that to keep them from coming out because they wanted to make sure that they got that cargo off the ships, and the only way they felt comfortable in doing that was keeping the secret from the slaves that they had the Emancipation
wow.
Proclamation taking place because
mm-hmm.
it's obvious because it's just too you could almost go horseback to do that. They had all
right.
kinds of communication they were getting in the communication during that time. And they weren't without communication. It was a matter of
mm.
keeping it secret from the slaves so the slaves wouldn't just start running off.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm.
Awesome.
Are there any more questions or comments? Hold on, wait a minute. Okay, here's a comment at 616.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
To the Shaheed, Brother Edward Abdelaziz.
Ah, alhamdulillah.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. I want to thank the guest for what she's doing. She mentioned, she touched on a lot of things. You know, I'm one to, when you mentioned about the Juneteenth and the language and the things we did back in the day with the Gullah Geechee language and also the Pig Latin we used to speak. We would take words and do things with them back during that time, you know, and nobody understood but us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I really want to thank her for her strength, because I too, and what I do, you know, I had a serious surgery, and 10 years now, and my doctors look at me and, you know, that's because you're on a mission, sister. You're on a mission.
That's right.
Why God has blessed you to do what you do. You're on a mission, and I just want to encourage you to keep up the good work, because when I studied Oprah Lee, when I studied her journey and to making this a national holiday, I said, you talk about reparation. You know, when I studied her and her journey, that really, really pushed me ahead and thinking. As a matter of fact, I'm writing some poetry and things about Juneteenth also. But keep up the good work. And
bless you,
keep
brother.
Up the good work.
Bless
and,
you.
Yes, yes.
Thank
stay
you.
In
Thank
touch
you.
With my brother Shahid Abdullah also. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. May God mm-hmm. bless
Thank
you.
Thank you.
As-salamu alaykum.
Bless you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, we have another caller at area code 914. Area code 914. Area code 914.
Oh, yeah, this is Muhammad Sharif out from Alvarez, New York. Assalamu alaikum to everyone.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Bless you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right, I just, a couple of months ago, was asking questions concerning Juneteenth, because, you know, here in Harlem, New York, and that's here, Malcolm Chavez, they've been doing Juneteenth this past year, the 30th year. They've been doing it every year for the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I was looking at information on Juneteenth, and there was a person... It's supposed to be a storyteller. I think it's, I don't know if it's always tour name, but I knew it was mm-hmm. Bob or something. So B-A-B-A, right, B-A-B-A, the storyteller.
Okay.
So he raised a question. He said, that was, that's not the facts on Juneteenth. So he began to talk on it. He was saying, now, everything that was going on, the communications, he said, it's almost impossible that people in Texas didn't know anything about the Emancipation Proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he raised that question, then he went on to tell more about it. He said that was a trick. You know, Shahid, you all tell me about the tricks that they pull and everything. And he said
right.
that was somewhat of a trick to give the European, the Caucasian, are heads up on the people and make us think that we were that ignorant that everything was going on and the communication between, you know, the slaves going from the south to the north and all of this. And you say, do you really think that we didn't know anything about the Emancipation Proclamation? He said, no. They knew, just like someone just said a few minutes ago, that the slave owners, mm-hmm. sure they knew about it, but they didn't want to give up that free labor. So that's why
right.
the word, so the man said, he said, no, check on that and you'll see. And then they raised it up, a European on a horse, a general coming into Galveston, Texas. He said, no, that was He said, no, that was what they called another trick game, the Europeans and that Caucasian being the supreme and the, you know, and the you know, what we call them the supreme and all of that. He said, that was just another trick. Everybody, and who are they lifting up? Why they didn't bring up African-American to tell us about the soon? He said, no, that was just another trick to raise, I'll use this language, to raise the white man up as white supremacy again. That's all that was. And so anyway, mm-hmm. you can go online and do some research on his name. I know the first name is Barbara, B-A-B-A, the storyteller. And go in there
and
scroll on, and you'll see his story, because he can tell a lot better than I'm telling it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
I think that because of the power structure, I don't really think we understand the power of what is going on in this country. And until we really understand where the power lies and who decides what, we're going to always have these things happen. The black people may have known about Juneteenth, but they weren't in power.
Mm-hmm.
It was the people above them that was in power and kept it, the information. So we have to always look at how this America that we live in affects us being black in America and how the mm-hmm. power structure is run. We have to look at that so we can properly fight the power. Somebody recorded that song, Fight the Powers mm-hmm. That Be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have to do. And I think for the brother who just called, that's exactly what happened. They probably did. The black folks probably knew, but mm-hmm. they were not in power. So, you know, I guess the white folks said, okay, well, we got to believe it now. Here's the second thing coming down the pike. You know, this got to be done now.
Yeah.
So that's just my thoughts.
Well, mm-hmm. they seem to be right on time. That mm-hmm. now, do any of you who have any comments or just we don't can't see the whole board. I'm going to scan through the board now. Just push the one on your phone, and I will be able to see you. You'll get on for your comment or question. You don't have to have a comment. You can have a question. Okay, Doctor. The program you're having in October, now it's going to be mm-hmm. featuring your Jubilee. I saw in the advertisement, it is the okay. orchestra that you have.
Well, that's my choir called Jubilation. I don't know why people want to call us Jubilee, but maybe because we present a Jubilee when we sing. But the name of the choir is Jubilation.
Jubilation.
I will have the Foreman brothers, who are some phenomenal young brothers who tap dance. Mm. I will have L. Carter, who will sing some awesome music for us. Mm. I have Brother Raymond, who's going to take us. He's going to do Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, the James Brown version.
Mm.
And I'll have Brother Joel Plummer that'll come and talk to us. And
mm-hmm.
H3, Hilton Rawls III. He is 12 years old. He's going to do a presentation. So it's going to be a great day.
And I think I've heard of the 12-year-old young gentleman.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been going all over the place. So you
yeah.
probably heard of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if there are any other questions, or I would like to know in the participation of other organizations or groups
mm-hmm.
In this effort you have, are there other groups and
we have a bunch of sponsors. We've got Raymond Royal Productions. We've got My Scholarship Foundation, which is Rev. 7 Jubilation Scholarship Foundation. We have the
mm-hmm.
New Jersey Performing Arts Center. We have the I Believe God Productions. We have a bunch of folks that are yet to come on. I'm talking
mm-hmm.
to a bunch of people that have yet to come on, but they're coming. So
mm-hmm.
Before it's all said and done, we'll have a nice crowd of sponsors. And listen,
sponsors,
if anybody's listening and you want to be a sponsor, please, you
okay.
can contact me at S as in Sam, R as in Robert, Minity, M as in Mary, I, N as in Nancy, A, T, as in Tom, E-E, srminity at AOL.com. Just drop me a note, and we can talk. We'll definitely talk about it.
That's great. So
mm-hmm.
we're getting a little close to winding down. So if you have any questions or comments, you need to ask them. But before we do that, we do have one break we have to do. Do one more break.
Okay.
Let's do the promo.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, The Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, The Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, The Bookstore, May We Share Completely Humanity, In Spirit and in Form, From Thought to Action, God's Peace, God's Love, God's Compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, thank you for that announcement. We appreciate it. And we appreciate what you're doing, your efforts, Reverend. We appreciate the impact you're having. And we thank God for giving you help, because we know you, as you said, you had a serious health issue, and you're pulling through. And how did you find what? What do you attribute to sort of overcoming, I don't know if that's a word to use, your health issue? Were there a special program you went through, or special kind of prayers, or anything that we might be of use to those who are listening? Because we have a lot of our listeners are very conscious of health, conscious of health and things they can do to themselves well, and also to prevent illness. Is there anything you can offer in your experience?
Well, Brother Shaheed, before I had the stroke, I weighed over 300 pounds.
Hmm.
I ate what I wanted to eat whenever I wanted to eat it. I did not go to the doctor like I was supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
I was traveling all over the world, but I was just headed for self-destruction. And if you can say, if I can say these words, the stroke changed my life.
Mm.
The stroke saved my life, because I am now 125 pounds lighter.
Whoa.
I make my doctor's appointments every time I need to make it. I don't miss my doctor's appointments. I don't eat specific foods. I try not to drink nothing but water. And my life has changed because, one, people were praying for me. That's number one. And number two, mm-hmm. I began to look at my situation and take stock of my mm-hmm. situation, be responsible that I was the one that I can't blame anybody but Stephanie, and I had to make mm-hmm. those changes. So I'm still in rehab. I take rehab, occupational and physical therapy periodically, and I do what I need to do each and every day. It's mm-hmm. not easy, but I'm thanking God that I'm still here, and I thank God for my friends, for my family, for people who have just reached out to me, and they will help me with whatever mm-hmm. is needed. So, but all the mm-hmm. glory, all the praise belongs to God, because had
Absolutely.
It not been for God, I would not be talking to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank you. I want to say this before I forget. You know, Brother Shaheed, you have been a blessing to me from the first day I met you. I want mm-hmm. to thank you so much, because you have, with your words of enlightenment, with your word, with your knowledge, and with all that you bring forth, I was able to just learn and grasp from you. And listen, we mm-hmm. need soldiers like you. We need men that are full of wisdom and that are full of power, especially right now, because mm-hmm. people need to know who you are. So I want to say thank you for how you've been a blessing to me.
Well, you're certainly welcome. As you say, all the credit goes to God. We're just servants, and we do our best to
That's
serve.
That's right.
And we pray and we ask God that our service is accepted, that we
That's
have
right.
served well. That's right. That's all we do. We born in a time we had no power to bring ourselves here, But since we are here, we do have the power to conduct ourselves. And if we
That's right,
ourselves,
while we're here.
While we're here. You're absolutely right.
That's right.
So I'm mm-hmm. just glad that you, and I know there are other two who things and make great advancements, but I know that you, by doing what you're doing, is a great asset to the African-American community. We just need more. We need more. We need more. And I was talking to some of our brothers and sisters not too long ago. We some of us, like in my generation, we don't think of ourselves as being finished, because this work is here because we are the ones that got to do the work. We are the ones. The example we set can be followed by three generations down. When they listen and hear about us, they will be able to be inspired to do some things. They hear about what you're doing with the Juneteenth and how that's being we're exposing that in a high way. And we're going and those who join in with you,
they're
going to be able to make make an even greater effort. But I'm amazed that you're doing down there in Newark that's in the Civic Center, not the Civic Center, that's in the
Performing Arts Center, right?
No, the Arts Center. That's going to be Performing Arts Center. That's going to be, is that going to be inside the Performing Arts and outside?
Yes, I'm going to on Juneteenth. We're going to, like I said, have the people experience the Middle Passage, and that will be inside the theater. But outside, I'll have a mobile medical unit that will actually do screenings for the patrons. And we'll have some information about the Lost Souls. That's another organization that, you know, East Brunswick, New Jersey has a history, and that's probably another show for you, where this gentleman sent these slaves to another place. But they're going to talk about the Lost Souls will be there. So it'll be inside and outside.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, with the help of God, I'm sure I'm going to make it my business to be there. And on October, on the 21st, you say, right? Saturday?
Yes, sir. October 21st, 11:30 a.m. at the Shack Theater.
Okay. Certainly. Any closing remarks or statements you have before we close out?
I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to come on and talk about this. I appreciate you so much. I'm just wishing well to all of your listeners that are hearing this. Please keep me in your prayers. I will be praying for you. And I love you all so much. Never even met you, but just love the people. And I just want to educate. That's why I'm here, to just educate our folks.
Wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. So we're going to be just about ready to close out in a moment or two. And I just want to thank Reverend Dr. Stephanie Manatee again for her efforts and for making them known to us and giving us the opportunity to participate in what she's done. She's done a part of the development that all we have to do is collaborate and be a partner to. Because it's all about our culture. It's all about our development. And anytime we find people doing something for our development, how do they get in touch with you, Reverend?
Email me. I think I gave my email address. S is in Sam, R is in Robert, M is in Mary, I, N is in Nancy, A is in Apple, T is in Tom, E is in Envelope. Is an envelope. That's srminity@aol.com.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. All right, so we want to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to participate who wishes to do so, because this is the time to participate. It's not later, it's now. We can't look over our shoulders for someone, because we are the one. So we may as well do what we have to do to move forward. Our people are going to get what they deserve, and that's all we really want. We're not asking for anybody to do any special favor for us. That's over with. All we asking for people to do is just move. Don't put your foot out when I'm coming past, or don't block me from coming through the door. Just mind your business. I mind my business, and the world would be fine. So this is what the world is made of. And when people in the world get to the point where they get to fussing too much with each other, they write out treaties. They write out a peace treaty. Okay, you don't, I don't come on that side. So there's always a way to make things work. See, we want to make sure that we recognize those times and opportunities, and we take full advantage of them, because they don't come along often, but they do come. This freedom that we're experiencing right now was a dream of our fathers. It was a dream that they would have the same opportunities that everyone else who came to America had. They saw these people coming to America from all parts of Europe and other parts of the world developing something for themselves. And what they wanted to do was just build something. They wanted to build what you see as Chinatown, what you see as Little Italy, all those type of places. That's all our people ever wanted in America. Once they got free of Great Britain, and we're going to talk about that probably on our next show, how that really happened and what importance that had. But they got free of that and emancipation of proclamation forbidding the act of slavery to take place in America anymore. Once we got rid of those the slavery part, but we embraced the part of the Revolutionary War, because we fought for that. We fought Great Britain to gain that independence. But the idea on slavery wasn't ours. We weren't joining in that. That was just people who were trying to make a lot of money, and they wanted to go through the slave trade at the time and through slave operations. But we are free of those things. We are motivated by the Declaration of Independence, and at the same time, we are directed in a course of freedom that our foreparents were in. And they set up these things that all we have to do is learn more. In fact, the African-American people, if we just consume every day as much as we can of the positive history of our people, especially during that time between 1896 and 1940 or even 55, if we learn as much as we can and see their behavior, and they didn't have this family problems. They had like a 20% of our families that were where you didn't have but one parent family. We got like 60-70% of the families, African American families, where you may have one parent. We didn't have that during that time. And we didn't have a lot of things during that time when we were really using the principles of cultural development. And we were using those principles of cultural development because it was coming natural. This is not a, you really don't even have to learn to develop culture. No one has ever really been in this spot we are in right now as African people. No one has been in this spot before. Everyone who's evolved on this earth had the opportunity to grow their own culture. They had the opportunity to develop the kind of culture they wanted, either within the midst of one culture and they developed it, or they went to another, migrated to another part of the world and they developed their culture. The African American are the only people on the planet Earth that didn't have that opportunity. That opportunity, every time we raised our head toward freedom, there was somebody there trying to make more money off our sweat and blood and keep us enslaved. So this concept, culture, is not new to our people. It's new to this generation. This younger generation today don't understand this idea of culture. Our foreparents did. That's what they was evolving. And after they evolved it to the degree where it started to yield what is yielding, then the natural step was to pass it on. But we had this, as the brother came on a little while ago and said, this trick concept, this used trick and law, who's wheeling the hammer is the one that's calling the shot kind of thing. They brought in this idea of social integration, and Claude Anderson said just a little while ago, in terms of how that has taken away the the ability of the, not the ability, but taking away the possibilities of the African Americans making tremendous advances. That it really made us, he says, fourth-class citizen. I sort of agree with him because my research shows about the same thing. Most of us don't know what's going on. It's going on. You know, see, so we're looking into that time now. But what I encourage all of us to do, we have to learn. We have African Americans who are Hebrew Israelites. They're African Americans. We have Christians. Most of us come from a Christian background. We have Christians. Mm-hmm. We have Muslims. They're all African Americans. There's no reason that we should not be working together and collaborating for our freedom and our development in America. And nobody's saying you have to believe this way, you have to believe. No, we're talking about our civil freedom, our human rights, the necessity to have those things for our growth and development for the future of our children and children's children. That is what we're really struggling for. We have to continue to encourage collaboration amongst our people. Collaborate toward not just our freedom, our opportunity to take advantage of that freedom. We have to collaborate for that continuously. Well, so with that, I'm going to thank you all for coming and listening to us this evening. And be sure to tune in next week. We'll be here again. We have a dynamic program lined up for next week, and a continuation of what we basically try to get to the public. And we are really making a lot of progress, and thanks to you all. And we want to continue to make. Oh, those of you who heard a lot of the things that I talk, a lot of the information I give, you can go to my website, which is Build a New Africa. Go to my website. On my website, I have these blogs that have this information that you could just download for free. There's no obligations. You get even more of the information. And this particular program is also recorded by Blog Talk. So any part you want to, and someone else to hear it, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and just put in this date, and they'll play it back for you. So that's the way you stay in touch. And be sure to tune in here every week, to AM 360. And I am, again, your imam, your Imam Shahid Abdullah, the African Bilalian American Fiat. And we're going to be turning off, and I want to thank you all once again and see you next week. And may God bless you all as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.